Congratulations, you did it. This is awesome. I just want you guys to really take this in, to really grasp what you have achieved here. Getting a degree at whatever level it is, whether it's elementary school or going into your graduate studies, it takes a lot of hard work and commitment, and I think this is huge for you guys. And I'm proud of you, your church family is proud of you, so congratulations, guys. Today, I want to talk to you about purpose and what that means to me and what I have learned through my life as a student, through my life and my spiritual life in general. And I'm hoping that through telling you a little bit about my testimony, that you're going to get a sense of inspiration for your own walk. So, without further ado, there are many obstacles that keep us from pursuing our purpose in life. One of the major ones is fear. It can be as obvious as a risk of physical harm or subtle as the fear of what your peers think about you. Fear has the power to paralyze you, regardless of whether the perceived threat is real or just internal. To the graduates, I say, unless you identify your fears, face them, address them, you will be ruled by them. In May 2015, I graduated from the University of Florida with a PhD in genetics and genomics. Thank you, Gary, for covering all of the details. This will all be a repeat. This added to my Master of Public Health, a Bachelor's in Nutritional Sciences that I also received from UF. I graduated with more publications than anyone in my graduate cohort or anyone from the research group that I was a part of. During my PhD studies, I earned recognition from the National Science Foundation, the National Academies of Science Ford Foundation, the United Negro College Fund, and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. I've been invited to lecture at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden, the institution that started and hosts the Nobel Prize Awards. And I intern at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one of the most prestigious and recognized public health organizations in the world. I have traveled to many places, presented research in numerous countries. I've trained dozens of undergraduate students who themselves have gone on to do graduate studies or medical school or law school. Why am I telling you guys this? I'm not saying this to brag on myself at all. I do have a point, I promise. I want to make a very important point here. Do you know what has been my biggest fear for as long as I can remember? That I wasn't smart enough. I almost didn't go to grad school because of this fear. Flashback to about 8 years ago, I had graduated with my bachelor's, having no clue where I was going next. No job lined up other than my assistant research position at the University of Florida, which concluded at the end of the summer. I had decided to end my pursuit of medical school because the motivation just wasn't there, and maybe never really was. I remember walking in my graduation processional thinking, this is great, but what next? I prayed, and the only reply I got from the Lord was to wait. Going against my natural tendency to worry and to be anxious, I chose to trust the Lord because somehow I knew that He was shifting things in my life. Several months prior to my graduation, I attended a conference with the UF College Ministry Group called Chi Alpha that completely changed my life and my understanding of my purpose. My relationship with Christ had taken on a new dimension where He truly became my passion and the center of my life, and I had begun to recognize that there was purpose outside of myself. So the things that once drove me in my education, things like prestige, security, approval, respect from my community, had diminished. I truly sought after His will, hoping and praying for vision, for insight as to what direction my life would lead, so I would learn to trust the Lord. And at that time, it meant waiting. And of course, this just thrilled my parents. The one thing that I felt the Lord had for me was this conference that I was suggested to attend. It was hosted by the Society of Molecular Biology and Evolution, and I was supposed to attend to share some of my undergraduate research. Though my mentors encouraged me to go, I was hesitant. No, the correct word was fearful, because I wasn't sure I knew enough or could come across smart enough to talk about my research, and among well-trained and far more intelligent scientists. Even more so, the thought of the experience of being a Christian in a conference full of likely agnostics and atheists was intimidating. I was afraid they'd sniff the Jesus on me, conclude I was a fraud, and kick me out of science forever. But through much prayer and seeking the Lord, I decided to go because the Lord called me to go. And because this was an all-expense trip to Barcelona, and I planned to do some sightseeing. I mean, hello, really? Let me tell you, God will use unexpected measures to get you where he wants you. Amen? The word says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. God established my plans in ways I had never expected at that conference. By choosing not to submit to my fear, God opened up doors for me that I never anticipated. At the conference, I heard talks that absolutely inspired me. Talks about how science could be used to understand diseases in developing countries. One talk in particular was about using genetics to study malaria and sickle cell disease in African countries where these disorders are prevalent, but there are very limited resources to tackle the issues behind them. Up until that point, my perception of science had little to do with impacting and improving human health in a meaningful way, so I was blown away when I heard this talk. And I knew this was the direction I wanted to go in my professional career. After that talk, I knew that it was, but how could I? It would mean entering the forbidden territory of the scientific method and aspects of evolutionary theory. It would mean facing other scientists who would question my qualifications and ability to work, to think logically based on the fact that I believed in God. And it would mean facing the question that had plagued me ever since I started college and started doing undergraduate research. Can science and faith, two entities that I always believed were incompatible, coexist in my understanding of truth? Well, God knew this was a question that I needed to be answered, and he provided an answer for me right there at that conference. I happened to meet an Oxford University graduate student who too was a Christian, and told me he struggled with the very same questions. He shared his invaluable insights into how faith does not have to be questioned by science, and more importantly, there is a need for believers to be present in this field who can show that though science can be used to understand the what and the how, only God can answer the why. At the end of our conversation, I remember this student telling me, Tamar, I really felt that God brought me to this conference just to share this with you. And God wasn't done there yet. At the same conference, I was introduced to the director of the Genetics and Genomics Program at UF. When she met me, she told me that there was an opening for the PhD program. Based on my undergraduate research, she thought I'd be a good fit and I should apply. When I heard this, again, I was blown away because it felt like confirmation that the Lord was directing me in a specific path. And then fear came again. I knew what doing my PhD would mean. I'd have to face my biggest fear. Fear of not being smart enough, fear of failing. And like a 1920s detective going through photographs from a crime scene on a projector, I went through the evidence from my past. I thought back to the time in elementary school, after being tested for gifted, I was told I was just under the threshold, just not smart enough. I remember the time in high school when my biology teacher pulled me aside and told me she didn't recommend that I take honors chemistry because she didn't think I could handle it. I remember the time as a junior in college sitting in the academic advisor's office and telling him I was thinking about grad school instead of medical school, and him telling me, no, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Stick with medical school. I think of the good but not great SAT scores, the dropped classes, the just okay GPAs, all proof that I wasn't smart enough and that I had no business pursuing my PhD. I didn't want to put myself in a position where I would fail. After the conference, I went home and prayed for weeks about this decision. I put forth all the evidence as to why I wasn't qualified, and God told me, but I have called you. So I submitted and I went forward because I believe that this is where God wanted me to be. I applied and I started my PhD in genetics in 2008. I joined a lab focusing on hypertension, but out of nowhere, opportunity came about to assist on a project on, guess what? Sickle cell disease and malaria. But this time in Haiti. which was really exciting because there's not a lot of research being done in Haiti, and I felt like this was an opportunity to make big, have an impact on in a meaningful way. So this was the very topic that I started my interest in, my researcher interest in. This small project became a very large project and eventually turned into my dissertation. Can I tell you something? We serve a good God. Amen? I have had opportunities to travel places, meet peoples, and do things that I never thought I could even imagine. I received fellowships to support my education I never thought I was qualified to receive. I also faced some of the greatest challenges of my life in grad school. It's not easy, guys. When God calls you to do something, he's not promising you that it's going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. I wish I could say getting into grad school was enough to alleviate my fears, but I would face them daily, battle with them for many years, and still even today, I face them. It's harder when my eyes are on things that don't matter, like the opinion of my advisors or the opinions of my coworkers or friends. But when I put my eyes on the Lord and remember that my purpose was bigger than getting a degree, I find strength to keep pushing forward. As time went on, I realized that my time in Gainesville had something to do with me getting a degree, but it had a lot more to do with God using me to influence the people around me. I think of the conversations I had with fellow students and professors about Jesus, about faith, about the journey of me being both a follower of Christ and a scientific researcher. I think about all the prayers for and with my coworkers and seeing the fruit of it come about. Graduates, wherever you go, you must realize you are an ambassador for Christ. You are a light in dark and late places, and God has called you to that place, no matter where it is. Show Christ's love. Live the gospel to those who may never see it outside of their interaction with you. A couple of friends of mine and myself were talking about life and overcoming individual challenges and fears that we face. One friend asked me what was my biggest challenge, and I shared her exactly the story I shared with you. Then she asked me, in her precious sweet voice, if you could go back in time and meet a little 11-year-old Tamar, struggling to believe that she's smart, scared to imagine that she could do big things, what would you tell her? Well, instantly, I thought of saying something like, hey, of course you're smart, dummy, and then proceed to shove my diploma in her face. But something said, nope, incorrect. Then I realized what God I remembered what God reminds me every time I feel fearful. I would tell her, your value is not in your intelligence or in your recognition from this world or whatever career you choose. Your strength does not come from within you. You're valued because you're chosen and completely loved by your Heavenly Father, the creator of all things, the savior of your heart. Your strength, your power comes from him. He will never leave you. He will make your path straight. Keep your eyes on him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When I think about all the cool things I experienced in my life's journeys thus far, what brings the greatest joy in realizing that the Lord had a plan for my life and recalling the evidence of it. Graduates, church family, I dare you to think about this for a moment. It's so easy to turn our lives goals into our destination, into our everything. We lose sight of what our great purpose is. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Scripture speaks clearly about our purpose in life. One, that God has a plan for a specific work for us before we were ever on earth, and that these works were rooted in God's will for our life, detailed in the Word, to love God, to serve God, and to love people. These good works cannot be done in our own strength. The Word tells us that we must be plugged into a power source. We must be like a tree planted near rushing water. We must be like a branch connected to the vine that is Christ Jesus. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Any accomplishment that you see in me was only possible through the power of God for his great purpose. I want to share some insight that I have gained over my 30 years. I've been on the earth for a long time, guys. So listen to this wisdom, okay? One of the biggest lessons I learned in college and in grad school was the importance of community. It was a hard lesson to learn. I'm naturally an independent person since childhood. Ask my parents, ask my siblings. And I kept mostly to myself. So this was a hard lesson for me to learn. But in my last year of undergrad, I lost my car in an accident, and I was forced to become dependent on strangers from church, different people, and God used that as an opportunity to emphasize how important it is to be connected to other people, that you cannot do this on your own. To the high school students who are getting ready to go to college, if you're leaving your PCC community, I encourage you, the first thing you should do is find a church home. Get yourself plugged in. Be in community, because community is where you find God. Community is where people pour into you, people love you, and where you get to serve others and to love them as well. Also, find mentorship. Find a mentor who can pour into your life and support you. I also encourage you to, even from an academic standpoint, find friends who are in your major and study with them. I tried to do it on my own, and it didn't work out so well in the beginning. But you really do need the support of other people to make it forward. Second, this might be kind of boring and obvious, but something I have to remind myself all the time. Establish good habits so that when the challenge comes, you're more prepared. I have learned that even the smallest bad habits can have major impacts on your life later. I'm talking about everything you do, from how you eat, when you study, how you spend your free time, Facebook. They are your enemies. Facebook, all that. Twitter, Snapchat. Get rid of that. No. Hard work is important, but the currency for success rests in your daily habits. The most important habit is regularly seeking the Lord on a daily basis. Be in the Word, because that's where you will know that your plan is aligning with His plan. Finally, I would like to encourage you to embrace the journey and not to focus too much on your destination. Setting goals are important for improving yourself in your career. You all set the goal of graduating, and you did it. But we must remember that the treasure is not only at the end of the rainbow. It's on the road towards the end. Take time to recognize that you have an incomparable gift of the presence of the Lord with you. Take time to enjoy the gifts the Lord has given you and your family and your friends, and embrace the process, because the real treasure is in growth. Even when the worst is happening, you must learn to trust the Lord in all things, all times, and be thankful. Have a spirit of gratitude. This is how you worship the Lord. This is how you honor Him in your everyday. And watch how growth happens. I'm going to leave you guys with this as the worship team is coming up. I leave you guys with this story. About a year ago, when I was a graduate student, I was really nervous thinking about, or when I was graduating, I was really nervous thinking about how I was, what I was going to do when I get on stage. For 7 years, I fantasized about how I was going to give Jesus props. Was I going to do a praise dance? Was I going to do a Tebow? Whatever. Even as I was approaching the stage, I had no clue. Finally settled on doing the whole Steph Curry thing. You guys know what I'm talking about, this. And I did it. I tried to do it, and it came off completely awkward. But God used that as a teaching moment for me. It's not about giving God praise at the end of the journey. It's about living a life of praise to God throughout. So I'm looking at you graduates now, and I see so much potential. Before me, now there may be lawyers, teachers, doctors, homemakers, missionaries, and ministers, or something completely different. No matter what direction the Lord leads you in life, remember that you are image bearers of the one true God. You are loved by your Father, and if you follow Him, you have absolutely nothing to fear. Congratulations.